The church is God's people. It was bought with the blood of Christ. It was purposed from all eternity. And it is the only kingdom that will stand forever. Jesus is the head of the church, his body. But the body is made up of people. Saved people, Christian people, but still people. And where there are people, you're going to have problems. Now, this is true everywhere else. It's true at home. It's true at work. It's true in a school. It's true in a neighborhood. Wherever you have people, you're going to have problems. You're going to have difficulties. So why should we think that it would be any different in a congregation of the Lord's people? The church is a divine institution, but it's still made up of people. Congregations have problems because they have people in them. The Lord knew this. The Lord knew this before he ever established the church. And the Lord Jesus dealt with this problem many times while he was on the earth. The Lord dealt with difficulties and disputes and issues between his own followers. And not only this, the Bible gives us instructions on how to deal with these problems. So in this set of lessons, we're going to look at this side of the church, and we're going to try to deal with some matters like these. Handling conflict. What to do when a brother does you wrong. Dealing with backsliders. Dealing with sin in the church. And looking at the subject of church discipline, that is, withdrawing from the disorderly. Now, the first lesson that we're going to examine is going after Christians that have gone astray. This is a problem in virtually any congregation. What does the Bible teach us about this? Well, we're going to begin today in Galatians 6, verse 1. The book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 1. And here we have a very meaningful and a very rich passage of Scripture on this subject. In Galatians 6, verse 1, Paul said, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Paul says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault. Now, the word overtaken here is an interesting word. This means to take something before. It means to take beforehand. It includes the idea of surprise. Before a person realizes what he has done. This is a verse that oftentimes refers to anticipating something in the Bible. For instance, in Mark 14, verse 8, it has the idea of doing something beforehand in anticipation of what is going to come after. And so what it refers to here is a Christian who has gotten caught up in sin before he even realized it. He's gotten himself into sin before he even realized what he was doing. Now, I'm not trying to say that he was not responsible for it. He obviously made the choice, but at the same time, it was not a deliberate, planned out sin. It was not a premeditated thing on his part. So this happened in a moment of weakness. This happened with a temptation. The man was caught off guard, and before he knew it, he's doing something, he's saying something that was wrong. Now, that's what this means by being overtaken in a fault. The word fault here refers to something that is morally wrong. That refers to a sin. This is not a matter of opinion here. This is not some kind of innocent mistake. It is a sin. But it was a sin that caught this man by surprise. That's the situation. So he says, brethren, if that happens to a man, then he says, you which are spiritual, restore such a one. Somebody says, well, aren't all Christians supposed to be spiritual? Why does he say those of you that are spiritual here? Well, all Christians are supposed to be spiritual, but sometimes Christians are not. In the church at Corinth, you had some that were carnal. They were fleshly minded. They were worldly minded instead of being spiritually minded. That's what he talks about in the last part of 1 Corinthians 2 and in the first two verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So what you have is a situation where those that are carnally minded, where you have Christians that are worldly minded, they're not going to be interested anyway in restoring somebody because their mind is not on spiritual things to begin with, and so they're certainly not going to be that concerned about a man who has been overtaken in a fault, a man who finds himself in sin. So he says, I want those of you that think about spiritual things, that are spiritually minded, these are the ones that are to go to this man to restore him. And the word restore is an interesting word. This is the same word that was used in Matthew 4, verse 21, where the Bible talks about James and John mending their nets. So this same word is translated mending in Matthew 4, verse 21. That simply means that they were repairing their nets. So the idea here is that when you have a man, a Christian, overtaken in a sin, those that are spiritual are to restore that man. They are to repair that brother. They're to help to get him back on the right path. Now, of course, he has to be willing. This man has to repent. They can't do it against his will. They can't force him to be restored. He has to make that decision, and he has to make that choice. But we need that help sometimes. We all need help sometimes in getting back on the right path. Sometimes we need encouragement. Sometimes we need correction. But we need each other as Christians to stay on the right path or to get back on the right path. In this case, this man needed to get back on the right path. Now, he tells these people, these spiritually minded brethren, to restore this man who's overtaken in a fault. And he said, you need to watch your attitude while you're restoring him. You need to make sure, brethren, that when you restore this man who has gone astray, you need to make sure that you have the spirit, that is the attitude or the mindset of meekness. Meekness means gentleness. Now, this doesn't mean weakness. Meekness is not weakness. It's not cowardice. It doesn't mean that a person compromises. This word meekness refers to gentleness. So he says, when you approach this person, let's say that this individual has gotten involved in a sin, and two or three men in the congregation know about it, and they decide to go visit him. Now, when they do, Paul says that they need to go in the spirit of meekness, in the spirit of gentleness. Now, they're to tell him the truth. They can't restore him, and it's not going to do any good if they back down from telling him the truth. So they need to be firm in that. They need to be honest with him. But as they're doing it, they don't need to be smart alecks. They don't need to be arrogant. They don't need to be self-righteous. They need to sympathize with the weaknesses of the human flesh, and they need to restore him in the spirit of meekness. Now remember, this is not talking about dealing with a hardened, rebellious backslider. You see, the Bible teaches us that different people who are in sin need different approaches. Over in the book of Jude, verse 22 and 23, you find that the Bible tells us that as far as the manner in which we correct other people is concerned, it depends on their attitude. It depends on their mindset. In Jude 22 and 23, the Bible says, and of some have compassion, making a difference. So in other words, when you approach some people, you're to use a more compassionate approach. But in verse 23, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. In other words, you take a more aggressive, a more assertive approach with them. You have to be bolder because there's some people that won't pay any attention to you if you tread softly with them. So it depends on the kind of response that you get and the kind of attitude that the person has. Now, you see here in Galatians 6, verse 1, you don't have somebody that is an argumentative, a stubborn, rebellious backslider. You don't have somebody that has intentionally sinned. You have somebody that is overtaken in a fault. And again, that involved the element of surprise. This man got involved in sin before he really realized it, before he really thought it through. So the Bible does teach us that different people do require different approaches. This is what Jesus did. When he talked with the woman at the well in John chapter 4, he took a more gentle approach with her. But when he talked to the scribes and the Pharisees who were hardened in sin, he took a much sterner approach. Paul did the same thing. Paul said, "Be gentle with all men," in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. But in Titus chapter 1, verse 13, when Paul was talking about dealing with false teachers, he said, "Rebuke them sharply." Now, as Paul says, to approach this one in the spirit of meekness, he said, "Consider yourself." He's talking to the ones who are going to help this man who's in sin. He said, while you're doing that, you need to think about yourself. You need to consider yourself, lest you also be tempted. So when you're looking at somebody else's sin, it's easy to take your attention off your own struggle with sin. So Paul warns us here not to be blind to our own weaknesses. Don't be so critical of the man that you're helping that you think it can't happen to you. Don't have the idea while he's talking and while you're talking to him, "Well, I don't know how in the world he ever got caught up in this, and what's wrong with him? He must be crazy, and I would never do anything like that." The Bible tells us, be careful about that. You know, the scriptures also say in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." I can imagine one of us going back to the Old Testament when David sinned with Bathsheba. I can imagine somebody saying, "Well, I don't know how in the world you could ever do anything like this, David. What's wrong with you?" And he did need correcting. He did need approaching. But for anybody to say that he is above sin, for anybody to think that he's above temptation and then go and try to correct somebody like that is going against what Paul is talking about here. And of course, the worst example of looking at somebody else's sins and not looking at our own is what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5, when he talked about looking at some little fault in somebody else's life and being oblivious, being blind to a huge, big problem, a huge sin in our own life. And Jesus said that we need to make sure that our own lives are right as we're going to approach and help other people. This passage says that if we're going to help other people to be restored, then we need to consider ourselves so that we're not tempted in the same way and commit the same kind of sin or some other sin. So there has to be a balance. There needs to be a balance in our lives of helping other people with their spiritual struggles and at the same time making sure that we give attention to ourselves. Galatians 6, verse 1 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted."